जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी
Hare Krishna. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 12, Chapter 12, Text 48 onwards. Sankirtyamano Bhagavan Ananta Shrutanubhavo Vyasanam Hipumsam Pravishya Chittam Vidhanotyashesham Yathatamorko Brahm Ivati Vataha Sankirtyamano Bhagavan Anantaha Shrutanubhavo Vyasanam Hipumsam Pravishya Chittam Vidhinotyashesham Yathatamorko Brahmivati Vataha Sankirtyamano Bhagavan Ananta Shrutanubhavo Vyasanam Hipumsam Pravishya Chittam Vidhinotyashesham Yathatamorko Brahmivati Vataha Girtamano Bhagavan Ananta Mano Bhagavan Ananta Shutani Bhavo Vyasanam Hipumsa Pravishchittam Vidhanotyashesham Yathatamorko Brahmivati Vataha Sankirtyamano Bhagavan Ananta Shutanubhavo Vyasanam Hipumsa Shishichittam Vidhanotyashesham Itatamorko Brahmivati Vata Sankirtamano Bhagavanta Atamorko Brahmitamata. Matajis? Sankirtyamano Bhagavan Ananta Chutani Bhavo Vyasanam Hipumsa Pravishya Chittam Vidhanotyashesham Yathatamorko Brahmivati Vataha Sankirtyamano Bhagavan Ananta Shutanubhavo Vyasanam Hipumsam Ashishya Chittam Vidhanotyashesham Yathatamorko Brahmivati Vataha Sankirtyamanaha, being properly chanted, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Anantaha, the unlimited, Shruta, being heard about, Anubhavaha, his potency, Vyasanam, the misery, he, indeed, pumsam, of persons, pravishya, enter, chittam, the heart, vidhunoti, cleans away, ashesham, entirely, yatha, just as, tamaha, darkness, arkaha, the sun, abhram, clouds, eva, as, ati, vataha, a strong wind. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: when people properly glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead or simply hear about His power, the Lord personally enters their hearts and cleanses away every trace of misfortune, just as the sun removes the darkness or as a powerful wind drives away the clouds.
Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगतपते गोपेशा गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमः ओम विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Hare Krishna. So, I'll just read the translation again. I've been told to cover from 48 all the way up to second verse of 13 chapters. So, I'll read that purport. Okay. So, text 48. So, there are many verses we are going to be reading now, where we speak about the Srimad Bhagavatam and, the glorification of the verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the Falashruti of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then after that we will be reading two verses from the 13th chapter. So with the blessings, I beg blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, my father, all the wonderful devotees who have come here, my senior God brothers. I beg your blessings before I start. So in text 48, I'll read the translation again. When people properly glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead or simply hear about His power, the Lord personally enters their hearts and cleanses away every trace of misfortune. Just as the sun removes the darkness or a powerful wind drives away the clouds. So in the Gita 10.11, Krishna says, Tesham evanu kamparthaṁ aham ajñāna jantamaha nāśyāmi ātma bhāvasto jñāna dīpena bhāśvata. So the purports mentioned that someone may object that the sun removes darkness but not from the cave, not from the caves. But the wind removes, even from the, from the caves. So wind is, it drives away everything. So the Supreme Lord, He just by hearing about Krishna, where this whole Srimad Bhagavatam, this whole program is about hearing about the Supreme Lord, Hari Katha. And when we hear this Hari Katha, what happens? Krishna says that I personally remove the darkness from the hearts of the devotees. Text 49. Words that do not describe the transcendental personality of Godhead but instead deal with temporary matters are simply false and useless. Only those words that manifest the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Lord are actually truthful, auspicious and pious. Those words describing the glories of the all-famous personality of Godhead are attractive, relishable and ever fresh. Indeed, such words are a perpetual festival of the mind and they dry up the ocean of misery. So these verses are the glorification of the verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So the verses glorifying the verses of the Bhagavatam, that these words are so beautiful that it's like a perpetual festival. You know, when we have, of course, we were having in our Radha Gopinath temple, we were having festivals. When you have too much of a good thing, you take it for granted. So we had such wonderful festivals. Balram Jayanti, Janmashtami, Nityananda Tridashi, throughout the year something or the other is going on, beautiful festivals. So this is these words are a perpetual festival for the mind. So when we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, when we read Srimad Bhagavatam, it's like a festival. Very wonderful atmosphere is created in the mind. So therefore we need to read. Those words which do not describe the glories of the Lord, who alone can sanctify the atmosphere of the whole universe, are considered to be like a place, are considered to be like unto a place of pilgrimage for crores, and are never resorted to by those situated in transcendental knowledge. The pure and saintly devotees take interest only in topics glorifying the infallible Supreme Lord. On the other hand, that literature which is full of descriptions of the transcendental glories of the name, fame, forms, pastimes and so on of the unlimited Supreme Lord is a different creation, full of transcendental words directed towards bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misdirected civilization. Such transcendental literatures, even though imperfectly composed, are heard, sung and accepted by purified men who are thoroughly honest. So the last two verses are a repetition from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th chapter, verse 10, 11, 12. So this is a repetition of that. Very beautiful. It's like Suta Goswami can't resist these verses glorifying the Bhagavatam. He wants to speak again. So he speaks again over here. Text 53. Knowledge of self-realization, even though free from all material affinity, does not look well if devoid of the conception of the infallible God. What then is the use of the even most properly performed fruitive activities, which are naturally painful from the very beginning and transient by nature, if they are not utilized for the devotional service of the Lord? So beautiful verse. These don't have purpose. They're very beautiful verses, because saying, what is the use of these properly performed? You may do fruitive activities with great attention, perfectly, all the activities you may do perfectly. But what is the use, if it is not utilized for the devotional service of the Lord? Text 54. This is a nice verse. The great endeavor one undergoes in executing the ordinary social and religious duties of the Varnashram system, in performing austerities, and in hearing from the Vedas, culminates only in the achievement of mundane fame and opulence. But by respecting and attentively hearing the recitation of the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Lord, the husband of the goddess of fortune, one can always remember his lotus feet. So, as per the instructions of the Padma Puran, Smartavya Satatam Vishnu Vismartavya Najatu Chit, right, that always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. So this is, the Acharyas explained to us that this is the most important instruction and all other instructions are subservient to this instruction. So here it is mentioned that by regularly hearing the recitation of the transcendental qualities of the Lord through Srimad Bhagavatam, one can remember his lotus feet. So, as per the standard of the Srimad Bhagavatam itself, the achievement of mundane fame and opulence by doing all these things, right? Varnashram system, austerities, hearing from Vedas, whatever mundane fame and opulence you get by that, it is not comparable to remembering the lotus feet of the Lord. So that's the verse. Text 55. Remembrance of Lord Krishna's lotus feet destroys everything inauspicious and awards the greatest fortune. It purifies the heart and bestows devotion for the Supreme Soul along with knowledge enriched with realization and renunciation. 56. O most eminent of Brahmanas, you are all indeed extremely fortunate since you have already placed within your hearts Lord Sri Narayana, the personality of Godhead, the supreme controller and the ultimate soul of all existence, beyond whom there is no other God. You have undeviating love for him, and thus I request you to worship him. Text 57. I also have now been fully reminded of the science of God, which I previously heard from the mouth of the great sage Sukadev Goswami. I was present in the assembly of great sages who heard him speak to King Parikshit as the monarch sat fasting until death. So here he is again remembering his spiritual master from whom he has heard. Text 58. So from here the Phalashruti of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam starts from this verse. O Brahmanas, I have thus described to you the glories of the Supreme Lord Vasudeva, whose extraordinary activities are most worthy of glorification. This narration destroys all that is inauspicious. Text 59. One who with undeviating attention constantly recites this literature at every moment of every hour, as well as one who faithfully hears even one verse or half a verse or a single line or even half a line certainly purifies his very self. So such a glorious Phalashruti for Kali Yuga souls like us, because the first line you hear and you start shivering, that recites this literature at every moment of every hour. Are, how is it possible? It's very difficult. But if you faithfully hear even one verse or a single line or even half a line, one certainly purifies his very self. So this is the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? How do we understand this? How is it possible that this is happening? It is happening because Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different than Krishna. It is non-different than Krishna. So when we hear even one line, no matter what the topic is, no matter, it is like if I touch Krishna's hand, I touch his hair, I touch his nose, I touch his shoulder, wherever I touch, it is Krishna only. Supreme Absolute Truth. So whichever line, half a line also you read, you will still purify yourself. Text 60. So this is relevant to today. One who hears this Bhagavatam on the Ekadashi or Dwadashi day is assured of long life. And one who recites it with careful attention while fasting is purified of all sinful reactions. Hari Bol. Text 61. One who controls his mind, fasts at the holy place Pushkara, Mathura or Dwarka and studies this scripture will be freed from all fear. Upon the person, text 62, upon the person who glorifies this Purana by chanting or hearing it, the demigods, the sages, siddhas, pitas, manus and kings of the earth bestow all desirable things. So again, now this is a materialistic benediction that is given, that you chant and hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, glorify this Puran, then all these Mahajans, great people, are all waiting to bestow all desirable things upon us. Text 63. Now, for the different Varanas, the Phalashruti starts. By studying this Bhagavatam, a Brahmana can enjoy the same rivers of honey, ghee and milk he enjoys by studying the hymns of Rig, Yajur and Samavedas. So one may feel, a Brahmana may feel that, oh, you know, reading Srimad Bhagavatam itself is a major task. You know, all of us have experience of that. Reading Bhagavatam is like a major task. So what about all the other Vedas? He says that the same benefit is available, you know, by reading, studying Bhagavatam. 64. A Brahmana who diligently reads this essential compilation of all the Puranas will go to the supreme destination, which the Supreme Lord Himself has herein described. So now it is going higher, right? That if you diligently read this essential compilation of all the Puranas, like in this 13th chapter, he is going to be giving that, you know, there are different Puranas, listing out all the Puranas, but then of them, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the greatest. It's coming up. So he says, if you read this, you'll get the supreme destination. A Brahmana who studies the Srimad Bhagavatam achieves firm intelligence in devotional service. Okay, so for Brahmana. A king who studies it gains sovereignty over the earth. A Vaishya acquires great treasure and a Shudra is freed from sinful reaction. Text 66. Lord Hari, the supreme controller of all beings, annihilates the accumulated sins of the Kali age. Yet, other literatures do not constantly glorify him. But that Supreme Personality of Godhead, appearing in his innumerable personal expansions, is abundantly and constantly described through the various narrations of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So here, Suta Goswami is first lamenting that there is inadequate glorification of the Supreme Lord Krishna, who gives liberation. I mean, the highest thing that is available in this world is something not of this world, right? And the Supreme Lord is giving that freely. Whoever wants it will get it, receive it. But then he is lamenting that other literatures do not sufficiently glory, do not constantly. I mean, why other things should be glorified? Only the Supreme Lord should be glorified. He's saying like that. So he's lamenting. But then simultaneously expresses his satisfaction that Srimad Bhagavatam has done the job. It has done it properly. Abundantly and constantly described. His glory is abundantly constantly described throughout the variations of Srimad Bhagavatam. Text 67. Now he again glorifies Supreme Lord. I bow down to that unborn and infinite Supreme Soul whose personal energies affect the creation, maintenance and destruction of the material universe. Even Brahma, Indra, Shankara and the other lords of the heavenly planets cannot fathom the glories of that infallible personality of Godhead. So we will refer to this unable to fathom the glories again when we come to the verses for today. Text 68. I offer my obeisances to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the eternal Lord and the leader of all other deities, who by evolving his 9 material energies has arranged within himself the abode of all moving and non-moving creatures, and who is always situated in pure transcendental consciousness. And finally, text 69. Now he again offers his obeisances to his spiritual master. He says, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master, the son of Vyasdev, Sukhdev Goswami. It is he who defeats all inauspicious things within this universe. Although in the beginning he was absorbed in the happiness of Brahman realization and was living in a secluded place, giving up all other types of consciousness, he became attracted by the pleasing, most melodious pastimes of Lord Shri Krishna. He therefore mercifully spoke this Supreme Puran Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the bright light of the absolute truth and which describes the activities of the Lord. So, without offering respectful obeisance to Sukhdev Goswami and the other acharyas in the line, one cannot possibly gain the privilege of entering into the transcendental meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is what is the purport for this particular verse. And now we will read verse 1 and 2 of the 13th chapter. I will not chant the verses because it's a little long. I'll read the translation. Suta Goswami, text 1, chapter 13, text 1. Suta Goswami said, unto that personality whom Brahma, Varuna, Indra, Rudra and the Maruts praise by chanting transcendental hymns and by reciting the Vedas with all their corollaries, Padakramas and Upanishads, to whom the chanters of the Samaveda always sing, whom the perfected yogis see within their minds after fixing themselves in trance and absorbing themselves within him, and whose limit can never be found. Again, the limit of the Lord cannot be found by any demigod or demon. Unto that Supreme Personality of Godhead, I offer my humble obeisances. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as text 2, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as Lord Kurma, a tortoise, his back was scratched by the sharp-edged stones lying on massive, whirling Mount Mandara, and this scratching made the Lord sleepy. May you all be protected by the winds caused by the Lord's breathing in this sleepy condition. Ever since that time, even up to the present day, the ocean tides have imitated the Lord's inhalation and exhalation by piously coming in and going out. So I'll just read the purport. Yeah. At times we alleviate an itching sensation by blowing upon it. Similarly, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains, the breathing of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can alleviate the itching sensation within the minds of mental speculators, as well as the itching of the material senses of conditioned souls engaged in sense gratification. Thus, by meditating on the windy breath of Lord Krishna, the tortoise incarnation, windy breath of Lord Kurma, the tortoise incarnation, all categories of conditioned souls can be relieved of the deficiencies of material existence and come to the liberated spiritual platform. One must simply allow the pastimes of Lord Kurma to blow within one's heart like a favorable breeze. Then one will surely find spiritual peace. Hare Krishna. So, we continue the glorious pastimes of the Supreme Lord, which are coming in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. It is our greatest fortune, actually. There is, in this material world, one cannot think of a greater fortune than hearing, reading, and meditating on the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, very beautiful this whole section which we just read, where Suta Goswami is glorifying the verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He has just finished summarizing. Yesterday, Hina Mahaprabhu, you know, he went through the whole thing, summary of the whole Bhagavatam, where clearly the we can understand that where is the pravritti, where is the intention of these acharyas, that the whole summary is there in short, but still there is enough time given for glorifying the Supreme Lord Krishna's pastimes. So, now he speaks in the first verse over here. Suta Goswami again starts glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He again says that this Brahma, Varuna, Indra, Rudra, Maruts are all glorifying him, and whose limit can never be found. So this is there, and in the second verse, the Lord's breathing is glorified. So I thought I will focus on these two points amongst, a whole galaxy of verses which we have read. Very difficult to focus and prioritize, but I'll try to speak a little bit about this. But the first thing we can see that, the nature of the Supreme Lord, how merciful Krishna really is. It's very difficult to understand. We feel sometimes, oh, Lord is not, bolte hai, we say that he's merciful, but he's not merciful. Very merciful. This pastime of the Samudra Manthan in the 8th canto, in this pastime actually we can understand how in every possible way that whole pastime is actually not performed by anyone but the Supreme Lord. And you may feel that the demigods and the demons are doing something. It's like, wo bachcha khel raha hai, upar se father is doing everything. It's like that. Everything end to end is the Supreme Lord in that whole thing. He first advises them, do this. Then after that, when they can't lift Mandara mountain, he comes and with Garuda lifts it and takes it. Then after they place it in the ocean, the Mandara mountain starts, it starts sinking. Then he comes as Kurma and Kurmadev, and he comes and gives it balance. Then after they start chanting, it starts moving. So he sits on top as Lord Ajita. Then again, they are struggling. Even then they are struggling to this. So then he himself comes and he also starts. So it's like non-stop. He's there throughout the pastime. Supreme Lord is just every moment of that pastime, he's there. So merciful. And here in this particular thing, we can see how when he comes as Kurmadev, as a grand, unbelievably large tortoise, he is making a virtue out of necessity. We say, sometimes, oh, you're making a virtue out of necessity. Jo matlab karna hi pad raha hai, usme se bada virtue dikha raha hai. But the Supreme Lord is doing that. These people I have come. He has rescued the mission, first of all, by coming as Kurmadev. Coming under Mandara mountain, lifting it from the ocean, from milk ocean, and bringing it to the surface again. And balancing it on his back. Now, a mountain which is uprooted, it has got a lot of broken stones, broken rocks, broken boulders, which are jutting out. And they are on the back of Lord Kurmadev. And Srila Prabhupada, in his purport in the 8th canto, he says, though he retrieved and held such a large mountain, he didn't feel any inconvenience. The Supreme Lord is not affected. And in fact, when the mountain was going back and forth like this on his back, it's being churned like this. So when it is being churned like this, he developed a kind of itching sensation, right? And that itching sensation, it was relieved by the churning of Mandara Mountain. So, Supreme Lord is so merciful that not only he has retrieved the mission, but he also is giving them some sort of sukruti, that you are scratching my back. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. I'll give you the amrita, I will deliver you. So, Supreme Lord is so merciful. So, this is the start. And in this first verse, it is said that whose limit can never be found by any demigod or demon. And to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, I offer my humble obeisance. So, Suta Goswami is speaking about the unlimited, ness of the Supreme Lord. So, how do we understand? So many things are there. There are so many pastimes in the Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Mahabharata. Various pastimes are there where we can understand that how unlimited Krishna is. So, Krishna is unlimited and he can take on any form as a pastime as per the need of the hour. So this is one aspect of Krishna's unlimited. He's not limited that, he can only come in human form. He can only come in as four-handed Narayan. No, he can come in any form as per the need of the hour. So he came as a fish, as Matsya avatar. He came as Matsya avatar and he retrieved the Vedas. Okay, from Hayagriva. He retrieved the Vedas. And then, again, when he appeared before King Satyavrata, at that time he appeared first as a small fish in his palm when he was performing, his ablutions. He just appeared as a small fish in the palm. So, you know, the king put him back into the water. The moment he put him into the water, he said that, please, you know, I have taken your shelter, now you please take care of me. So he put him into a jug. Moment he put him into a jug, he outgrew the jug. So, okay, let me put him into a larger pond. He put him into a larger body of water. Again, he outgrew that. He put him in a pond, he outgrew that. He put him into the sea, he outgrew the sea also. So he just kept growing. Right? So then, immediately, he was able to understand that, no, this is not an ordinary fish. He says that, please explain who you are. Then he explains that there will be a, you know, partial dissolution, and in that everything will be destroyed. But you, I will bring a boat, you and all the rishis and all the herbs, everything has to come onto that boat. That's how, again, creation will start. So as Matsya, he comes as Kurma. You know, in Kurma, it is described that his form is 800,000 miles long. 8 lakh miles. I mean, we cannot even imagine what is the size, you know, of the... If you see, any of you has seen a big tortoise ever? A big tortoise? You must have seen the small ones. Have you ever seen a big one? You know, I've seen a big one which is about this much, right? And when you see that big tortoise, it's actually quite scary to see. It's quite scary when you see such a big thing. And then imagine something that's 800,000 miles long, because it's needed to support that huge Mandar mountain is the biggest mountain. So usko support karne ke liye, to support it, you need a equally large form. And the Lord is able to easily grow into whatever size. As Vaman Dev, in 2 steps he covers the entire universe. Starting as Batu, as a small, you know, dwarf Brahmana, and then suddenly he expands to, he becomes Trivikrama. He becomes and he expands into the whole universe. He's unlimited. Narsingadev, you know, Narsingadev also, just his form, he just comes as a half lion, half man. So there's nothing that is limiting him. Nothing. As Varahadev, he lifts the earth from the Garbhodak ocean. Where does he place? Between his nose and the 2 tusks that are coming out. So this earth is so big, right? Now you imagine such a big earth, if it is placed on the nose, how big must be Lord Bor, as Srila Prabhupada says, unlimited, right? Then we see that Krishna, again, another aspect of his unlimitedness. And we see in the pastime where he was running away, Ranchod, when he was running away from Mathura, and the demon Kalyavahan was, you know, Kalyavan was chasing after him. So now in a different sweet way he manifests his unlimitedness, that the Lord was not really running. He was kind of walking at a decent pace. And Kalyavan was running full pace. Ekdam pura energy dalke unke piche bhaag rahe. But he was unable to catch him. He remained out of reach. Another aspect. In the Mahabharata, we see that when Krishna had come as peace messenger, he had already, he knew that this, he knows past, present and future. So he knew that this is not going to work out. But still, because Yudhishthira had requested, he said, okay, I will try, you know, I will put my best. And he put his best effort. See how the Supreme Lord becomes a servant, you know, for his pure devotees. He is willing to do whatever. Even though he knows it won't work out. Now imagine if you were in his place. If you were told that, Prabhu, go and do this. I know them. They will never do it. You are just wasting your time, my breath. I will be insulted. You will just insult me. Why are you sending me? No, you go. Right? Krishna also does it, no? He sent the gopas to the, you know, to the brahmanas for getting food. He knows that they are not going to give, but still he sends. It's the Supreme Lord's pastime. So, he went, and when he went there, he was warned. He was warned by Vidura, he was warned by others, that this Duryodhan, please, you don't come tomorrow. It's a waste of time. He's never going to listen to you. In fact, what we have heard is he's going to try to arrest you. So, please, my Lord, don't come. My Lord says, don't worry. Kuch nahi hoga. And he comes the next day, and when he comes in front of Duryodhan, and Duryodhan, foolishly, he tries to arrest him. And the Lord says, oh, you will try to arrest me? By all means, Try karo. And then he manifests a small universal form. It's like when you see on a big screen, movie screen pe jab aap dekhte ho, you see a grand, you know, camera, you know, cinematography, they are showing very beautifully some scene. The whole scene is, you know, into that one screen. You're seeing a full grand canyon, or you're seeing a grand, you know, waterfall or something like that, but you're seeing it in that small screen. Same way, in a small, you know, palace like this, the Lord manifested universal form. Another aspect of His sweet unlimitedness, the Damodar Leela. Damodar Leela, when Yashoda Mai was trying to tie Him, He became unlimited. He became unlimited by saying the same size. So see how many different aspects of unlimited. That's why, you know, Suta Goswami is saying that no demigod or demon can understand His limits. Kisi ko samajh mein nahi aayega. Because He is unlimited in different ways. Otherwise you may say He just keeps growing and growing. But here He didn't grow at all. Srila Prabhupada says His waist didn't grow one inch also. It was the same size. But still, rope was not sufficient. She kept adding rope, more and more rope from all the cow sheds, from all over Vrindavan rope was brought, but still not sufficient. And He's smiling at her. Cha, you want to tie me? Try. So this is the unlimitedness of the Lord. He cannot be tied by any rope. What can He be tied by? He can be tied by the love of Mother Yashoda. And ultimately it is the love of Mother Yashoda. He felt that Mother Yashoda is getting so tired and she's doing this out of love. She's not going to give up. She's not going to give up. And I am also acting funny. So, you know, maybe might as well I get tied. So He got tied like that. Then it is described that His glories, the glories of the Supreme Lord, are ever expanding. So, it is said that Ananta Shesha with His 1,000 mouths, even He keeps on glorifying for all time to come. He will never finish that job. Wo kaam kabhi like sometimes hum log ko, you know, some seva is given and we realize ye kaam kab khatam hoga. It will never get over. It's just going on and on and on. Right? Same way, Ananta Shesha, if He starts with His 1,000 mouths when He is glorifying the Supreme Lord, there is no way He can complete the job. Why? Because the Lord is unlimited and plus in that unlimitedness His glories are expanding. So in mathematics we say infinity, you cannot add, you cannot subtract, you cannot divide, you cannot multiply because it is infinity. But here the scriptures, they reject this consideration that even though the Supreme Lord is unlimited, His glories are just, you cannot count, you don't know where. That's why Srimad Bhagavatam is so wonderful, because it takes just, you know, the summary, few things here and there, some smattering of glories of the Lord is taken and presented to us, and this itself feels like, oh, this is too much. So, it is so unlimited, the glory of the Lord. If we take one aspect, we can speak about it for lifetimes and you will not complete. Because by the time you complete, more have been added. The list has grown longer. So, this is the unlimited glories of the Lord. And then, one of the unlimited things, glorious things of the Lord, is the breathing of the Lord. So, I'll just read the verse again. It says, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as Lord Kurma, a tortoise, His back was scratched by the sharp-edged stones lying on massive hurling Mount Mandara, and this scratching made the Lord sleepy. So we see, you know, sometimes bacche ko bhi aisa thoda thoda aisa back pe kiya, the eyes close and after some time they fall asleep. You know, the Lord is also, He is also a person, so He also feels nice. He's feeling scratched like, ah, such a nice sensation, so nice. Right, so He's feeling very happy. And He's feeling in that happiness, He's feeling a little sleepy. So, in that sleepy condition, the Lord's breathing. So what a beautiful poetic thing Suta Goswami is saying. May you all be protected by the winds caused by the Lord's breathing in this sleepy condition. So beautiful. And then he says, ever since that time, even to the present day, the ocean tides have imitated the Lord's inhalation and exhalation by piously coming in and out. Very poetic, you know, very beautiful analogy, metaphor has been given. So, the Lord's breathing is so wonderful. There are so many wonderful things connected to the breathing of the Lord. So, I'll just try to cover a few of them. So one of the things that is mentioned is that the Vedas, the body of all knowledge, Veda means knowledge, and the body of all knowledge, that is emanating from the breathing of the Lord. So I'm just quoting a verse here from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. It's mentioned. Srila Prabhupada quotes this in the Gita. He says, it says, Asya mahato bhutasya nishvashitam etad yad rig vedo yajur veda samavedo atharvangirasaha. The four Vedas, namely the Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Sama Veda and Atharva Veda, are all emanations from the breathing of the great personality of Godhead. So this Vedas, you know, just yesterday somebody had sent on a particular group, some Russians have done some research of some nuclear sites where they feel nuclear explosions have happened. And they went and saw those sites, they looked at the, you know, what are the remaining points, what is there. And they said, this is not by a meteor. It's not a meteor crashing, it is a nuclear explosion. So they started going into the past, that where has this come. So they studied the Mahabharata, they studied various scriptures. And in those scriptures, they found some unbelievable descriptions of nuclear weapons. Not nuclear weapons as, not called nuclear weapons, but they compare the Brahmastra to a nuclear weapon. And they compare, they have shown, it seems there is one particular scripture where a Vimana, so there are descriptions of the demigods flying in their Vimans. And there is a description given of that Vimana, a whole engineering description is given of the Vimana. So the Russians have studied this and they are saying, oh, this is so amazing. You know, the Indian scriptures 5,000 years back, if they had this, then you know, God knows why the Indians are not studying their own scriptures. This is their conclusion. But unfortunately, we don't understand. So these Vedas are such a unbelievable body of knowledge. We don't know. See, we as Vaishnavas, you know, following Srila Prabhupada, we don't go into Vedas. We don't. I mean, we don't even dare. Hamara wo himmat bhi nahi hai and zarurat bhi nahi hai. We don't even need, because whatever we need is contained in the Srimad Bhagavad Gita. Whatever we need is contained in the Bhagavatam. Chaitanya Charitamrita is bonus. Uske upar nectar of devotion is like, it's like, oh boss, kabhi jindagi mein complete nahi hoga. It's like that. It's amazing what we have. But the Vedas are like the superset. This is like a small subset, a small, you know, portion of the Vedic knowledge is there in the Srimad Bhagavatam. But the essence, you know, Sarvo Upanishado Gavo, if all the Upanishads are compared to a cow, then, you know, the Dogdha Gopalanandana and Arjuna is, Krishna is compared to the Dogdha, who takes the essence of all the Upanishads and gives it to Arjuna, who is like a calf. So the essence is given to us by Srila Prabhupada and by our Acharyas in our Parampara. So we are so fortunate. We don't have to go into this. But these Vedas, these lakhs and lakhs of verses, how they came about? From the breathing of the Supreme Lord. Just by His breath, the Vedas are generated. Right? We talk about it, not that the Vedas are like a manual that is given by the Supreme Lord for the living entities who are in this material world, for our sustenance. Or properly perform dharma, artha, kama, and then you will get moksha also if you just follow what is given here. So it's like a manual to live successfully while you're in the material world. The whole thing just comes from the breath of the Lord. Then, if this is not amazing enough, okay, the universe, entire universes are created from the breathing of Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu is an expansion of an expansion of an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And from His breathing, so when He breathes out, in the seed form, all the universes are coming out from His pores. So we spoke about the size of Varahadev. Mahavishnu is even more unlimited. We cannot imagine, no? You think one earth planet on the nose of Varahadev, so how big is Varahadev? We can't imagine. Now you imagine from the pore of the Supreme Lord, you know, Narayan, from His pores, universes are coming out. Which is
multitudes of planets and stars and everything is coming out. One universe is coming out from the pores. Right? In the Brahma Samhita it is said, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the original personality of Godhead, Govinda, whose plenary portion is Mahavishnu. All the Brahmas, the heads of the universe, live only for the period of his exhaling. So Brahma, 311 trillion years, that is his lifetime. That is one exhalation, one breath. The Supreme Lord has let one breath and Brahma. Billions and trillions of lifetimes of so many people, so many living entities in this material world are happening in one breath. You know, sometimes in this Guinness Book of World Record, there are people who, you know, have competitions of who can hold the breath longer. I believe the longest is some 1 minute 20 seconds underwater. Longest. 1 minute 20 seconds. And that person also must be, I mean, commendable. Human being beyond 25, 30 seconds, we can't hold our breath. 1.5 minutes almost is like amazing. So, we can understand what is our insignificance. How small we are. Physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, everywhere we're just tiny, very, very, very tiny. We have to understand our insignificance when we hear this. Right? All the Brahmas, the heads of the universes, heads, big, big, demigods, big, big kings, rajas, president, POTUS, president of the United States of America, who lives only for 4 years and creates all chaos at the end of it. That's it, right? 4 years. And that personality, the Supreme Lord, just by his exhaling, universes are coming out, and by his inhaling, everything goes in again. Right? So this is the unlimited, amazing quality of the Supreme Lord, that just by his breath, all creation is done. And Srila Prabhupada clarifies also that Brahma, what he has done is secondary creation. But the whole raw material, everything, including the living entities, are by the glance of the Lord. Right? Prabhupada mentioned that also, that Krishna, by his breath, he can speak the Vedas. By his glance, he can impregnate. So all his senses are absolute and perfect. So like this, then in the Purusha Shukta confirmed chapter, second canto, it is mentioned that the breathing energy of the Lord, it creates all kinds of fragrances. So the fragrances that we see, fragrances are such an amazing thing, you know. In my early career, in my job, I almost got hired by a company called Drago Co. It was called Drago Co. And they were into flavors and fragrances. So what they do is, they take some fragrance, some natural fragrance, like they'll take a jasmine flower, a chafa flower, a rose, and taking that fragrance, extracting that fragrance, they break it down and try to mimic it by using chemicals. Right? So fragrance is such an amazing thing. When you smell something, it reminds you of something, you know. I remember whenever I smell a particular, you know, certain people, they put in their hair, Keocarpin hair oil. Right? Some of you might have heard about it or might have used it also in your youth. Keocarpin hair oil, whenever I smell it, immediately it takes me back to my 11th and 12th standard. Because one of my classmates, he would always be putting Keocarpin hair oil. Why? Because his father was bald. And he was afraid that I will also become bald. So he used to desperately every day put Keocarpin hair oil. Of course, as destiny had it, by 35 he was also bald. Keocarpin didn't help. But the point is, that fragrance is so deeply embedded. Moment I smell that on somebody, I remember him. Right? Fragrance. Fragrance is also such an exotic thing. So Krishna, by his breathing energy, creates all fragrances. Right? Then, it is mentioned that after meditating for thousands of years, Brahma heard Krishna breathe in his heart. In his heart, he heard the breathing of Krishna. Krishna's breath had flowed through his flute and transformed into the Gayatri Mantra, which then came out of Brahma's mouth as Vedic knowledge. So this is
A beautiful poetic description again given by Urmila Mataji in one of her BTG articles. Very nice. You know, she says, he heard Krishna breathing in his heart. His breath, you know, flowed through Krishna's flute. Tene Brahma Hridayadi Kave. That from his heart, he heard the flute of Krishna that transformed into the Gayatri Mantra, and it came out of Brahma's mouth as Vedic knowledge. So exotic, right? These descriptions are so exotic. Then, the flute of Krishna. The flute of Krishna is his breathing. Breathing into this small piece of bamboo. So, of course, I am not qualified to speak on this topic, but I'll just, you know, few points. Again, I have taken from, you know, a nice article that I found on Folio. So I'll just read what I have heard, you know. So the flute of Krishna is one of his madhuri, right? We say that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, has 60 of the 64 attributes. But there are four that even Lord Vishnu does not have. Rupa Madhuri, Venu Madhuri, Leela Madhuri. So Venu Madhuri, this flute of Krishna is so exotic and so wonderful that even Lord Narayan doesn't have it. And this flute is so wonderful. I mean, for those of you who have heard a flute, what do you call that, concert. You know, if you have ever heard of the Hari Prasad Chaurasia and, you know, those kind of flute players. It is actually very captivating. When you start hearing, you can't get up. You start hearing, you can't stop till it's over. It just goes on. It somehow enters your ears and captures the heart. You can't move. You have to hear. When some expert player plays like that. So Krishna's flute is like that. It is his breath, which is coming out in the form of transcendental notes. He blows on his flute to herd his cows. So, whenever he wanted to call his cows, he would play his flute. And through that flute, like how Brahma heard Gayatri Mantra from the flute, through that flute, each cow would be able to hear her name being called. It's amazing. You know, and just by playing the flute, he was able to call one cow at a time, and they would all come by hearing the beautiful flute. And it's described that when Krishna plays his flutes, he plays his flute, they would raise their ears like this. Just that one small note also of it should not be lost. You want to hear it completely. So beautiful. So this music bewilders even expert musicians on heavenly planets. So even heavenly planets, you know, the Gandharvas and all the great Kinnaras and all the people who are amazing singers and amazing musicians, when they hear the flute of Krishna, they all stop. Nobody can, you know, move after that. Yesterday somebody sent a very beautiful link. Unfortunately, I forgot to copy it. You know, it's a poem that was composed by one actress. Some actress, yesteryear actress, Maharashtrian actress. So she had composed a poem about, again, the flute of Krishna. You know, that how Krishna's flute, when he plays the flute, it is really beautiful. I mean, I am happy to share it with anyone. It's really Krishna conscious also, so it's really nice. So he says how when he plays the flute, everything stops, right? And it's described here, it induces a contrary nature. Sab ulta hone chalo jata hai. Everything, so the moving entities, they stop, they stabdha, they become paralyzed, they can't move, they can't, their legs, hands, everything stops moving. The deers, they stop. The peacocks which are dancing, they stop. All the birds which are flying, they stop. Everything freezes. Everything which is moving freezes. And then, everything which is stationary, that starts moving. So the stones beneath the feet, they start melting, right? The rivers, they flow backwards. Sab ulta hone chalta. The rivers start flowing backwards. Rocks melt in ecstasy. The ecstasy of hearing Krishna's flute is so unbelievable that the rocks start melting. The animals become stunned in ecstasy. The people become stunned in ecstasy. So the gopis, when they hear this flute, of course I can't remember and I cannot reproduce the way Maharaj had once described, that it goes through their ears into the heart and it forms some kind of a thing inside that music which I can't remove it now. It's just gone and stuck inside my heart. That is the effect that the flute of Krishna has. Muralidhar, the Supreme Lord, is known as Muralidhar, Venudhari. When he plays that Venu, it is like when the cows hear, the cows are called. When the gopis hear, they cannot stop. They just drop what they are doing and just leave. Hare, but no. They just leave. They have to go. That is the power that Krishna's breathing through his flute has. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur says that Krishna abducts the minds of his devotees. Abducts means what? Kidnaps. Chin lete ho. He doesn't, he's Hari. He just steals. He abducts the mind of his devotees with the enchanting songs of his flute as well as with his sweet bodily fragrance. So now again fragrance is coming back. So, with the enchanting songs of his flute as well as by his sweet bodily fragrance, Krishna abducts the minds of his devotees. And this fragrance and this sweet song, enchanting song of flute, which are blowing in relentless waves upon the wind. Relentless. When Krishna blows his flute, it is relentless. Ruk nahi jata. It just goes on and it's like, Ari, you got me, you captured me, but no, it just keeps coming in waves. That is the beautiful description that is given over here by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Then we see some more examples of Krishna's breathing. The forest fire. When the gopas were, surrounded by the forest fire, so at that time, they were searching for the cows and the calves. They found the cows, but by that time, the forest had completely been engulfed by this fire. So again, what do the gopas do whenever they are in trouble? They call out to the unlimited Lord Krishna. And the unlimited Lord Krishna, he tells them, please close your eyes. this is adults only. Don't see this. Please close your eyes, everybody. So they all close their eyes and then Krishna breathes. If with his breathing he can take in entire universes, what is one small forest fire? Nothing. He just breathes and the whole forest fire goes into his mouth. Right? So this is Krishna's breathing. He breathes in and the whole fire is sucked up. Then it is described that the breathing of Lord Narsingdev, right? Lord Narsingdev, when he was breathing, he agitated the seas and the oceans. So Narsingdev, you can imagine how angry he was, right? He was so angry that my pure devotees, the Supreme Lord, he has said in the Gita, Paritranaya Sadhunam, Vinashaya Cha Dushkritam, Dharma Samsthapanarthaya Sambhavami Yuga Yuga. He cannot tolerate that his devotee is harmed. He has said, Name Bhaktya Pranashiti, he is declared. And then, amidst that declaration, this demon is troubling my pure devotee. He's such a child, 5-year-old child. He's troubling him so much, trying to kill him in so many ways. He's waiting for the opportunity. When will the devotee say, My Lord, please come? He is waiting. Lord Narsingdev is waiting. And then suddenly when Prahlad Maharaj, he gives a signal that, yeah, he's here also. You can call. And then Hiranyakashipu, he breaks the pillar and the Lord appears. And the Lord is so angry. When we become angry, we also start breathing, no? Heavily. The Lord is also breathing heavily, heavily, very heavy. And his anger, our anger, when we become angry, people in the household start, let's stay away, थोड़ा दूर ही रहते, सब लोग अपने अपने काम में लग जाते, क्योंकि इसको गुस्सा आ गया. But when the Lord Narsingdev, who is already in this fury, fearful form, scary looking form, as half lion, half man, with big claws, massive size, and his hair was touching the clouds, so massive size, he's come. And when he breathes, what is happening? The seas and oceans were getting agitated. The tides, as it's described, the tides were probably going back and forth like that. Lord Chaitanya's breathing. Lord Chaitanya, when he was in ecstasy, it is described, he would stop breathing. So this is another pastime of the Lord. That when he is in ecstasy, he stops breathing. Right? So like that. Then we just discussed the pastime of Markandeya Rishi, how as a small infant, Lord Mukunda, he just breathes in, and Markandeya Rishi gets sucked into his nose, and through his nose goes into the belly of the Lord, and there he sees the entire universe. Again, the unlimited form of the Lord and the breathing of the Lord combined in one pastime. Right? That within his body, through his nostrils, Markandeya Rishi has gone in. Right? Through his nostrils he has gone in, and inside he sees the whole universe. Right? Amazing. A nostril. Speaking of nostrils again, Brahma, when Brahma is angry, what happens? Through his nostrils, Varahadev appeared. He came out so small, as a small boar who came from the nostrils of Brahma. And then within few moments, he grew to the size of an elephant. And within a few moments, he grew so big. And I couldn't find the description of the actual size of Varahadev, but you can imagine how massive he was, right? Like that. Then in this verse, now coming back to the second verse, it is mentioned by the breathing of Kurmadev, right? Winds are created. And the ocean tides have imitated this Lord's inhalation and exhalation by piously coming in, going out. So in the purport, the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, very beautiful purport. Again, poetic language is used in the purport. Please, study the purport. Beautiful. He says, at times we alleviate an itching sensation by blowing upon it. Right? So when we get an itch, if you are scratching and scratching, kuch hone rahe, we are told by our parents, and if you scratch too much, to wo aur badhega. We have heard, in Prabhupada's books, if you scratch too much, the itch increases. So at some point we say, just blow upon it. So he's referring here, we alleviate an itching sensation by blowing upon it. Similarly, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that the breathing of the Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, it can alleviate the itching sensation within the minds of mental speculators. So those who are mental speculators, unko khujli hai. They have an itch. That kuch to leke, kuch to speculate. Like you see, earlier some years back we used to say Google Guru. I remember, our Gaur Gopal Prabhu had once taken a lecture on Google Guru. Something like that, right? Google or Krishna, something like that. So now from Google Guru we have new Guru. We have WhatsApp Guru. On WhatsApp Guru, so many people are sending all kinds of stories which have no, matlab uska koi basis nahi hai. It's not from any scripture, it's not from Mahabharata, it's not from some Padma Puran, Vishnu Puran, nothing. They make up stories to make it look bona fide, right? And they just give it. That is speculation. Sometimes it is mildly, one would say mildly bona fide. Matlab achha theek hai, kam se kam Krishna ko Bhagwan to dikhaya. Somewhere we have to be grateful ki yaar, okay. Some points we give. Most of them it is pure speculation. So this itch that is there of speculating, oh God must be like this, God must be like that, God must be having these qualities, God must be having that qualities, his devotees are like this, devotees are like that. Instead of speculating, oh itch will be removed by the breathing of the Supreme Lord. Right? Then, as well as of the itching of the material senses of conditioned souls engaged in sense gratification. So this itch, yehi sansparsha jhab hoga, dukha yuna evate, adhyanta vanta kaunteya nateshu ramate buddha. So Krishna says in the Gita that this itch, stay away from it because it's not going to go away. Right? So this itch also, it is described, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, the breathing of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can alleviate this itching sensation. Right? What is the breathing of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The Vedas. The scriptures. So by taking shelter of this scripture, now coming back to the Srimad Bhagavatam, by taking shelter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the itch that we have, and we all have it, of sense gratification, of speculating, of doing yoga, and so many itches. Kitna apne ko mind mein alag alag ideas aate rehte hain. Arre ye karna chahiye, wo karna chahiye, let's try this, let's try that. Ye bhi try karte hain. It will enhance my Krishna consciousness. It will make me more balanced. It will make me more, a more well-rounded personality. Itne apne ko itches aate rehte hain. Naye naye ideas. Ye try out karo, wo try out karo. Ye sab itch chale jayenge. If we hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So therefore, in the concluding words of the purport, he says, one must simply allow, sirf permission de do, one must simply allow the pastimes of Lord Kurma to blow within one's heart like a favorable breeze. Right? So when we hear the pastimes of Lord Kurmadev, we hear the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we simply hear this pastime. It's like a favorable breeze. Don't we experience it sometimes when some great speaker is speaking? Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagwan ki jai. When some Maharaj is speaking or some senior brahmacharis are speaking, when you hear them, your attraction for Srimad Bhagavatam increases. It's not just what they spoke. What they spoke, it touches your heart. You like it. But वो सुनने से आपका भागवतम पढ़ने का मन आता है. यू फील कि इतना अच्छा है तो मेरे को भी भागवतम पढ़ना चाहिए. आई शुड रीड, आई शुड टेक शेल्टर. राइट? इट इज लाइक दैट ब्रीज, दैट प्लेजेंट ब्रीज विच इज ब्लोइंग ओवर. यू नो व्हेन यू आर सिटिंग, एंड आई रिसेंटली बीन टू अ हिल स्टेशन, व्हेन यू आर सिटिंग इन अ हिल स्टेशन, यू कैन सिट इन द सन एंड नॉट फील द सन. यू डोंट फील द हीट ऑफ द सन. वाई? Because pleasant breezes are blowing. Right? Nice, very nice, cool breezes are blowing. In the same way, the Srimad Bhagavatam is like that cool breeze, which can alleviate the miseries. We have heard all the Phalashruti. It can take away all the miseries of material existence. For the Brahmanas, it can take you to the highest destination. For the kings, it can make you Mahipati. For Vaishyas, it can give you all material opulences. Yes, it's, everything is there, all that is there, but the pleasing breezes will give you the spiritual attainment of the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the greatest benediction that is there, available to us in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And in this final chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the 13th chapter is the final chapter. So like what Sridharma Prabhu said yesterday, let us take shelter, of each verse. Each verse there is so much nectar. One verse will be purified. Half verse will be purified. One line will be purified. Half a line also will be purified. This is the glory of Srimad Bhagavatam. So let us fully with our hearts take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam and perfect our lives. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai, Srila Prabhupad ki jai, Srila Gurudev ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Hare Krishna.